Hear now the gospel reading from the Gospel of Mark, beginning with the first verse of chapter 7. Now when the Pharisees gathered together to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, observing the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they purify themselves. And there are many other traditions which they observe, and the washing of cups and pots and vessels of bronze. And the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the traditions of the elders, but eat with hands defiled?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold fast the tradition of men." In verse 14, "And he called the people to him again and said to them, 'Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a man which by going into him can defile him, but the things which come out of a man are what defile him. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a man from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart but his stomach and so passes on?' Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, 'What comes out of a man is what defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a man.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My first church, you've heard me mention from time to time, it was a baptism by fire. My first church was in Hardeeville. And I learned so much there. And I say that in the same way people say they learn so much from their first marriage. When I arrived, I continued in worship what I thought was their tradition, standing for the reading of the gospel. And at the appropriate point in the service, I said, "Please stand for the reading of the gospel." Well, about half of the congregants stood, and the other half stayed absolutely stuck in their pews. And the half that were seated were making noises and rustling their bulletins and glancing up sideways and angrily at those who stood. I was perplexed. You see, I left seminary with this dream in my mind. I had this beautiful dream that the body of Christ would be unified, would be united. I'm sure that some of our retired pastors out there are smiling because they also had the same dream. And then they got their first church and they grew from innocent to initiated. I was shocked. And later I ask an older and wiser member, is your tradition to stand during the reading of the gospel or not? And the older man said, no, it is not our tradition to stand during the reading of the gospel. And I said, then your tradition is to sit during the reading of the gospel. And again the man answered, no, it is not our tradition to sit during the reading of the gospel. But I said, I was perplexed. I said, but the congregation is half and half over this. They're fighting over this. They're staring daggers over this. They're rustling bulletins over this. They're either calling names or not talking at all over this. And the old man interrupted and he said, yes, that is our tradition. Hardyville. Jesus said, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. You leave the commandments of God and hold tight to the traditions of men. And then Jesus says something very interesting. He says over in verse 14, he says, essentially, listen up. When you see in the Bible, hear me all of you and understand, that means listen up. There is nothing outside of a man which by going into him can defile him. But the things which come out of a man are what defile him. Out of his heart, out of his essence, out of his being. But that reminds me on a physical sense of my old friend growing up in Woodruff, David Schmidt. Growing up, Dave was my best friend and my son is named after him. And one day I saw Dave drop a piece of bologna on the kitchen floor and he picked it up and he gobbled it up and he smiled and said, 3-second rule. Dave didn't believe in the germ theory of disease. Dave took in a lot of questionable bologna over the years. But what came out of him is what matters to God. That's what God cares about. Nothing outside of a man, says Jesus, by going into him can defile him. But the things which come out of a man are out of a woman. That's what defiles us. That's what reveals what is in our heart. Now, what does this text say about God? I think it says that God is not satisfied with external religious doings. You know, we love to diminish religious faith down to bow this way, pray this way, worship this way, sing this way. That's right, you've got it. That's what God had in mind, and now I can judge you if you do it any other way. Yes, we love to make rules. He or she who makes the rules also makes themselves judge. But Jesus was not so concerned about outside ritual behavior. God wants our hearts, our souls, our minds, ourselves. God wants it all, inside and out. Not just memorize a verse and pray like this and sing like this and be on your merry way. God wants a changed inside that produces a changed outside, not just perfect rules and rituals. Now in the Bible we find constantly a thorn in Jesus' side. The chief nitpickers who worked against God in Christ were the Pharisees. Now the Pharisees, we get them confused with the priests. The Pharisees were not really the priests. The Pharisees were the lawyers. They didn't really concern themselves about the soul of faith. They concern themselves with the trivia, the minutia, not the heart of the law, but the letter of the law. And Jesus was looking for changed hearts who did what really mattered. Jesus looked for people who cared and did because they had God's Spirit informing their conscience. But the Pharisees, they were looking for washed hands and clean cuticles and perfectly combed hair. You see? What do we look for? What do we look for? We, even today, we judge people when they use the wrong words, our grammar. Or we look askance at people if they vote in a way that we don't approve of, or if they drive a wrong car, or if they dress the wrong way we consider inappropriate or out of style. I read a story last week about an extreme example of this I could hardly believe. A young girl, it seems, some of you must have read this or heard this, she went to a new school. And some other girls asked her, what kind of music do you like? And she said that she liked heavy metal music. It might not be your cup of tea, but she said, I like heavy metal music. And she named a particular band. Well, because she answered that way, these other girls, now these were girls, attacked her physically, and one stabbed her in the eye with a pair of scissors. Because she liked the wrong kind of music. Externals. And the way we judge. God looks at the heart, but we judge so harshly on everything else. I've also read that in Iraq today, Muslims of the Shiite sect and of the Sunni sect of Islam have taken to changing the ringtones on their phones if they are in one area or another. Because if your phone rings and it plays a traditional Sunni song and you're in a Shiite area, you may be beaten or killed. So depending on where they are, they change their ringtones. Personally, I'd put mine on vibrate. Externals matter so much to us, but not to God. I'm reminded of the times that Jesus violated all the big rules like healing on the Sabbath. He did that several times. Once He healed a woman who was bent over with back problems for 18 years on the Sabbath. And at first the crowd was amazed. They said, what can this mean? He must be from God. And then others said, no. It's not a good thing. It's a bad thing. He cannot be from God because He did a miracle on the Sabbath. No. We limit what God can do if it doesn't conform to our list of propriety. I've met some squeaky, clean, outstanding churchgoers, and no, I will not name names or churches, but some who later revealed themselves to be trembling bundles of hatred and contempt and judgment against anyone or anything which did not conform to their view of reality. Sad. They were always, always quite certain that God was on their side or that they were doing God's will, even when they stared you down or put you down or made visitors feel bad for wearing plain clothes to worship or having different views or different backgrounds. Squeaky, clean lip service to God. But out of their hearts came judgment and spite. God does not need our help enforcing rules in His church. When Jesus said, whomsoever will come, that is exactly what He meant. Another time in Hardeeville, and if I even had people, Pete, you may wonder, if somebody from Hardeeville was in the congregation, would you tone down your stories? No. Because they know it's true. Another time in Hardeeville, a group of people spat venom at me for the very idea that black people might come to a program I was planning. One left a meeting after tossing a hymnal and slamming a door. She said, my grandmama did not build this church for black folks to come here. And I said, without thinking, I was moving anyway. I said, no, your grandmama did not build this church. God did. And His Son said, whomsoever will come. The gospel today is about nitpickers drawing lines to keep people out. They did not wash their hands properly and ritually, and so they were condemned. Jesus pointed out that the Pharisees, if you read the between section that we did not read, he pointed out that they had devised the system called Korban, the strict letter of the law way of technically devoting their money to God while their parents were alive so that they could not spend money on their parents. And apparently they found another tricky technical way of using the money for themselves after their parents die. Read that part we left out in chapter 7. Can you imagine someone so cold-hearted that they would tie up their money in a way to gain praise from the church and at the same time withhold it from their own parents until they died? Then they undevoted the money so they could live it up while pretending to grieve over the early death of their neglected parents. Can you believe such functional atheists using God to save money and at the same time look good in front of others? External religion is what Jesus was speaking about. External ritual purity against the reality of the internal change of the heart and the mind and the soul which God wants for us in Jesus Christ. You know, another example that's right here in this church. If you walk up that wooden ramp coming into the church, just right outside the sanctuary, and you look up at that huge brick wall, it looks absolutely solid, and I think it is 3 or 4 bricks thick. Is that right? Rudy, do you know? It's pretty thick. It looks beautiful and strong, but I've got some pictures here of the rotted wood on the inside of that wall that shows that the internal reality is not as strong as it appears from the outside. And as soon as we meet the budget and pay for the new building, that's the next priority. People, externals, do not tell the whole story. Folks can be poor and have good hearts before God. People can be uneducated and be godly and faithful to the core. People can be dressed to the nines and lie every time they open their mouths. People can have multiple college degrees and have hatred and pettiness and jealousy running and ruining their lives. We are called to become something more. We are called to new birth. We are not just a sort of a club for God that pays the bills and does the same old things over and over generationally until we die and then our children take our place. No. Spiritual growth is what we are here for, not a spiritual stalemate where we come this far to God and no further. Clean hands and not a changed heart. Growth and change is God's call, inside and out. To put it very simply, if we ain't growing spiritually, we ain't following Jesus Christ. And if we are completely satisfied with who we are, then we do not yet know who we are. I believe that. If we are completely satisfied with who we are before God, then we have not yet seen ourselves as God sees us. And if these statements strike you as wrong, then they are for you. Anyone satisfied in their faith is in danger, just as the Pharisees were in danger, of reducing faith down to a tiny little list of trivia. But God is not impressed with respectability. We work for respectability. We yearn for respectability. It opens doors for us when we have it. Respectability, but God doesn't care about it. God is no respecter of persons. God looks at the heart. And so your take-home assignment is to take yourselves less seriously. What you own and what you know and what you've done and what you would never do is all secondary to God. Think instead what God knows about the internal workings of your heart, your mind, your soul, the internal workings of your priorities and your choices. Have you kept the vows and promises to your wife that you have made? Have you kept the vows and promises to your husband that you have made?
to your God that you have made, to your church that you have made, to your employer, to your country? Is there integrity between your heart, mind, soul, and your behavior out there in the world? I want us all to pray. Pray to the God who knows us through and through, inside and out. Let us pray. Lord, look at us. Look at our souls and show us our souls as you see us. Show us where we need to grow. Show us where we need to go from where we are. And Lord, help us never be satisfied with looking good. Help us become good and godly and more yours. More like Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, create in us new hearts, new life, abundant life, and the joy and the peace that you promised. These will come when we surrender completely to you. In Jesus' name, amen.